Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker this week. Andy's on vacation. He'll be back with you next week. I get to hang out with my guy, Randy McMichael, right over the course of this week. So get a chance to talk some football. We'll talk a little more SEC football. SEC Media Day is supposed to happen this week. Not going to happen. So we're trying to do our part to bring a little SEC football.
Are they doing anything? Are they doing anything like coaches Zoom or anything?
Well, the thing was, they had, when they announced last month that they were canceling SEC Media Days, which was supposed to be this week, they said they would do something virtual that would be decided at a later date. And then since that time, I haven't seen anything official from the SEC, so they may end up doing something in August before the season starts. Who knows?
I know, because I saw the date. I saw just a little while ago come across a ticker that the ACC is canceling their media day. So I'm assuming it's the same. When they said cancel, I was like, well, I thought, did they really think they were going to have the media day? Where does ACC usually have theirs? That's usually in Charlotte, right?
Yes.
They're using Charlotte, okay. And the SEC was going to be here. And yeah, we were going to be there, you know, sitting at the table, having Brian and Wendy go flag down coaches and everything. But, you know, yeah, well.
It's the way it goes.
I would have loved to have went, too. I wanted to go. I mean, I would have loved to have gone, you know, just to see what it's like and all that stuff. But, you know, unfortunately, we can't go. Damn it.
We'll talk a little Tennessee football. Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. It is now time for our big clip of the day. We'll bring you the biggest clips of the day. It's brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair. We kick it off today. Here's Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, your overall rating in Madden NFL 21 is a 94. Your reaction?
I wish it was better, but hey, I just think I did better than last year. I think, like I said before, I did a lot more than people expected, and our team did, so it should have been better, but it is what it is. It's better than it was last year, so it's good.
Did you ever pay attention to any
Chris.
I didn't care.
I didn't know.
I didn't think so.
I mean, it is a big thing now. I told you that it was one of my last years in San Diego. And probably I was grumpy that day. I'll admit, it was in the middle of training camp. I was grumpy and everything. And so, like, in every locker room, there's, like, a bulletin board where you tack stuff up there and all that and everything. And the damn, somebody tacked up people's Madden ratings. And everybody was over there cutting it. So, Chris, I literally went through the crowd, like, the media scrum went through and just ripped the damn thing off the ball, tore it up through the trash can. Like, all the stuff we got to focus on. Y'all worried about some damn Madden ratings? But, I mean, that's where they are now. So I promised myself I was not going to be like, I mean, whatever. To each his own, man. I like what Lamar's response. It was better than it was last year. I haven't played Madden in years. I play sometimes. I play sometimes with Isaiah when he's playing minimum, you know, just hang out for a little bit. I play the game with him. But I don't play video games. And it's funny because, like, they take it so personal. Like, so personal. And I was just like, it's a video game. But I mean, hey, the measure of a man's pride, sometimes it never ceases to amaze me. And if this is what you want to, you know, to get all upset about, brother, do you? Because they rating you. And that's how you feel. You feel you should be a 96 and they got you a 94. Okay, brother. I'm sorry. I'd apologize. Now, the highest is 100, right? Or is it 99? Is 99 the highest? Or I can't remember. You can see how much I pay attention to. But I mean, it's every year though. Every year, Chris, is somebody, man, y'all got it wrong. I ain't gonna play with y'all no more. Like Madden gives a damn. They still make a head over fist. So, I mean,
well, I think a lot of it has to do with, and Randy, it was probably the guys that came along right after you or came along later in your career that really grew up playing Madden.
Oh, yeah,
and
no doubt about it.
Those are the guys, like these guys in the league right now, I think it's a big deal to them because it was a big deal to them growing up playing this game. We didn't have. You know, I mean, I'm going to date myself, but, you know, when I was playing, you know, Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, we didn't really care, didn't really think about it. I had one version of Tecmo Bowl, and I played the thing for 3 or 4 years, and then I kind of phased out of it. And I'm like you, I've never gotten back into the whole video game thing since adulthood. But
yeah, I mean, it's cool, man. Like I said, I'll sit down there and watch him play, or I'll play sometimes with Isaiah. But, I mean, the thing with me growing up is that, like, I always had I never got the latest year. So, when Madden 95 came out, well, I just got 94. Like, I couldn't, like, mama, you know, she would have to wait for it to go on sale. And, you know, usually when the new one come out, the old ones go on sale. So for Christmas of 93, I got Madden 90, you know, I ain't care. You know, it wasn't no big deal to me. But, yeah, I mean, it's just funny. Every single damn year. Every single year. It's the same thing. And it's going to be the same thing next year. Same thing after that. And that's cool, man. I mean, these young guys, it is a big deal to them. So I don't want to, you know, dismiss it as not being a big deal. Because it's obviously a big deal to some of these guys that are upset. I saw that Deshaun Watson was upset. And Deshaun Watson is class amongst class. He is a fine young man who is a damn fine quarterback who's going to get paid and all that. But I saw that from him, I was like, oh, God, nah, come on, Deshaun, really? But he's part of this generation that takes that kind of stuff personal. So get it on up. I mean, I don't know how they – I really want to know if, like, who's in these, like, these computer labs. Are these these got to be Timmy Tube Sox homies that do these Madden ratings. It got to be some of his partners in there like, hey, watch this. Well, I'm going to control Deshaun. Deshaun's going to get up. What did he get, like an 84 or something like that? Oh, he thinks he's a 90. Let Timmy and his boys control that, fellas. Just go play on the field.
It's a big clip of the day here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game of the Radio.com app. Let's go back inside that NBA bubble and hear from Kawhi Leonard.
It's no surprise to me that somebody, you know, got it within the bubble. You know, you bring in so many people from different cities and states, and there's no control over it, pretty much. You know, but I think we're doing the best that we can. The NBA put, you know, together, you know, this process, this quarantine, and, you know, we're doing everything under the guidelines of testing every day, trying to keep, you know, ourselves social distance from everyone. But, you know, who knows? Well, I mean, what's going to happen? All we could do is try to stay optimistic about it and be positive. And, you know, hopefully we could finish this season.
I think Kawhi makes good points there, Randy. It's a 113-page document that the NBA handed out with all their protocols in it. I think they have done about as much as you can to try to keep these guys protected and to try to keep them from getting sick.
Yeah, I mean that's the ultimate goal right now. And we talked earlier in the show, Chris, about the numbers. You know, I think it was like two positives compared to tested was what 322. I think you said, Chris. Am I right?
Yep.
You say
322.
Yeah. So when you look at, yeah, they're trying to keep everybody safe and all these things, and you know, one of the guys who was our insiders of the NBA, he's saying, you know, the NBA thinks these next 10 to 14 days are so valuable as far as the testing and who's getting sick and who doesn't get sick. Because I know these guys, they're down there now, so they're like, damn it, we down here, so we might as well get it done. We're down. I mean, of course, they're going to complain about about the food and all that. That's just what it is. They need to this is not a permanent thing. This is how it is for right now. We need to adjust and go on about our business. I know they're used to luxury lifestyles and all that, but for right now, nobody want to hear you complaining no more about the damn food and the accommodations, all that. We just want to see you play basketball. And now that all the teams are down there, I know Kawhi just got down there the other day. Just saw a picture of him. Kawhi looking rough. So obviously, unless they got a salon right there, Kawhi gonna have that new growth in his braids when it's time for the NBA season to start. But yeah, I think that's the main thing right now is them trying to find a way to keep these players, you know, as safe as possible and trying to make sure they abide by the rules. Because the one thing about it is that you don't want to be that guy. We found out we had a young man. We talked about him in the Wendy's Zone. You know, he was just going to get some grub, Chris. He wasn't going to get no lady. He wasn't trying to sneak out to no shake, nothing. He was going to pick up some food. And for that reason right there, he had to go back. Because luckily it's no games being played or else he would have been fined. he would have been doctor's paycheck, all these things. So I mean, hopefully these are a reminder that it's temporary, fellas. It really is. It really is.
SEC met yesterday. All 14 athletic directors got together in Birmingham with Commissioner Greg Sankey to try to figure out what the upcoming SEC season will look like. Here's what Greg Sankey had to say yesterday on Paul Feinbaum.
Trends are not what we desired, not what we had experienced a bit earlier in the summer, very much in the wrong direction, and that's problematic. That doesn't mean that's the finish line. Things will never change. We've seen the news around COVID-19 alter itself in different ways over a number of weeks.
That's SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey yesterday on Paul Feinbaum. We also heard him say earlier in another cut that we played in the show that the SEC wasn't quite ready, and paraphrasing here, but the SEC wasn't quite ready to give up on the idea of playing non-conference games also. We'll see. He said going into that meeting he had about 20 different options that they would be discussing. I would assume one of those is to try to play the season as normal, and one of them would be not to play the season at all. And we're probably going to fall somewhere between those. One of the things that I've heard tossed around, Randy, is the idea of playing a 10-game SEC schedule and get it finished by Thanksgiving, because there is a thought process at a lot of colleges and universities that students won't be back on campus after Thanksgiving.
Yes, I mean, that, Chris, that's been out there for a while, too, the fact that if these students do come back, that was going to be the cutoff point. And it usually is, because that's right around Thanksgiving break. Finals is usually a couple weeks after that. So they're trying to get them off campus as soon as possible. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Big Ten did give the reason why they did what they did was because so they can get those conference games out the way. And I mean, okay, fine. That's fine with me, whatever you – I mean, but, yeah, they're trying because they keep on saying the second wave. I'm like, well, where the hell did the first one go away? I mean, hell, like, oh, this is the second wave coming. Well, hell, when the first one going away? Let me know. Tell me when that going to happen, because it was supposed to happen when it got warmer. It was supposed to go away. It ain't went away, but that's neither here nor there. But I look at it as they're going to try, and I think Sankey is – I think he's real hot with the Big Ten. I think all the damn commissioners that aren't in the Big Ten are hot with the Big Ten right now for jumping the gun the way I think they did. Now, they might not, and some people might agree with them, but I'm just talking about me. I think they jumped the gun as far as trying to get this season, you know, trying to go out automatically and say 10 games. I think it was a rush of judgment, but right now, I mean, even that right there, Chris, is still no guarantee that there's going to be college football.
I think the issue that everybody has with the Big Ten, Randy, is that Kevin Warren, their commissioner, it's not so much that he decided to make this announcement. I think it's the fact that he didn't give anybody else a heads up.
I think that's the thing.
It wasn't a group text. It wasn't an email. It wasn't a phone call to all of the other commissioners saying, guys, here's what I think. Because apparently these guys have been meeting every day, if not every week, for the longest time now, discussing the options, and the fact that he just went up and did it. Bob Bowlesby, who's the commissioner of the Big 12, said yesterday, or maybe it was Friday, Bob Bowlesby said that he had talked with Kevin Warren that morning. I guess it was Thursday morning when the announcement by the Big Ten was made. He had spoken to Kevin Warren on the phone Thursday morning, and Kevin Warren gave him no indication that was coming.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that's,
I think that's what's got everybody chapped.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because I'm sure, because that was the one thing we kept talking about, like, we know there's no damn leadership, but we talking about these are the big programs, these are big conferences in college, and you're thinking like, okay, maybe we can all put our heads together and come up with something, you know, and maybe we can all come to maybe a, because there's never 100% consensus about anything, but maybe we can all come together and we can figure something out which is the best for college football. And it seems like the Big Ten was like, yeah, that's all right, we're going to do this. Y'all go ahead and do what y'all do. Maybe thinking that because they did it, they can bring the other ones along. But, yeah, I mean, that just goes that there's no leadership in the NCAA. And I don't even know what to say. I don't know how it's going to – the SEC will not make a quick decision. I don't think it'll come back this week. May not come back next week. I know they're gearing towards August is fine. I mean, as the 1st of August as far as – that's where we need to be at. Because you remember Greg Sankey said the other day, we're running out of time. And they really are running out of time.
We'll see. I don't know. Here's what I can tell you. I am so glad I'm not the one that has to make those decisions.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that ain't. I want no part of that. That is way above my pay grade. So somebody else take care of that. I am excited to talk some college football, though. We are doing that every day this week here on the Midday Show. Since there's no SEC Media Days, we'll try to talk a little bit of college football for you every single day. Brent Hubbs, he's the publisher of VolQuest.com. He will join us next. We'll deep dive into Tennessee's 2020 season and what that may look like for Tennessee after they managed to win 6 in a row to end the season and 7 out of their last 8. After that disastrous start.
Oh, see, stop hating over there, Wendy. Come on, some boo. But that's what. But it's crazy because you remember on college football game time, me, you, and John Chuck, we were talking like, what the hell is going on at Tennessee? We didn't think Coach Pruitt might make it through the year. And for them to turn around the way they did, they got some good players coming back. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, one thing we knew about Coach Pruitt, he can get some. He can recruit. He can recruit. And he is doing a hell of a job this offseason getting guys in that building.
We'll talk some Tennessee football next. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
This is Damon Amendola with your CBS Sports Minute. Let's do a thought exercise. As Washington decides what to rename its football team, let's for a moment think about the possibility of retaining a reference to indigenous peoples. Instead of an outdated, offensive term, how about if the team was renamed the Washington Native Americans? Heck, what if it was simply shortened to the Washington Americans and had a reference on the helmet or the logo to the indigenous people of our continent? Calling a team the Americans with a clear relationship to the indigenous people might throw some for a loop. We've used cartoons and caricatures and the color of their skin to define them. We don't often call Native Americans just Americans, but they are. They were the original. They were here first. Righting a franchise wrong for 87 years would be to truly honor Native Americans with the proper title, Americans. This is Damon Amendola.
Hey clones, you've heard me talk about Walmart delivery before, but now Walmart has the fastest delivery service yet, Walmart Express Delivery. Get groceries and more delivered from their door to yours with no contact delivery in 2 hours or less. Zero markups, same low price as in-store. Don't let work, kids, an at-home workout, or whatever else life throws at you right now get in the way of getting what you need when you need it. Try Walmart Express Delivery today. Restrictions and fees do apply.
Ugh. My stomach.
Don't worry. I've got you covered.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
What's that?
It's Pepto-Bismol Chews.
Pepto-Bismol's now in a chew?
Yeah, they taste great and provide fast relief. And now you can always have Pepto-Bismol handy.
Huh. Let me try it.
Try new Pepto-Bismol Chews for fast relief.
Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh. Let's go forth in for Andy Bunker as a revolt is happening as we speak between Randy and Wendy. Hang on, guys. Hang on. It will end soon, I promise.
Okay, Wendy, you don't have to play the whole song.
Yeah, we're waiting a word and a chance to be joined by Brent Hubbs to talk a little bit of Tennessee football. And Randy, the tough part of everything that's going on right now with all these SEC teams is nobody really knows what this schedule is going to look like. Tennessee's supposed to play Oklahoma this year on September 12th. We don't know if that game's going to happen.
You know what's so crazy, Chris, is that you got so many cross-conference big games this year. Yeah, I mean, it's so many to start the game off. I mean, start the season off in the month of September. It's going to be – I mean, are those the games like you said earlier? Okay, when Alabama-USC, it's been canceled. Now, are you going to replace that game? I mean, those are the games – those are the games that we begged to see were the Alabamas and USCs, the Georgia versus – I mean, and now we don't know how it's going to be in – so we'll wait and see what, you know, the dry commissioner says and what he thinks these guys are going to do.
Let's head out of the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Brent Hubbs. Brent has been around the Tennessee program for a long time. He's the publisher of VolQuest.com, and he's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on the week of what would have been SEC Media Days. We get a chance to talk a little bit about a couple of the SEC schools. Today, we'll talk with Brent about Tennessee. Brent, we've spent the last 2 days here kind of talking about what the SEC schedules may look like. Tennessee's set to play Oklahoma September 12th. Any news on that game? And in your opinion, what's the likelihood that game gets played?
Well, both teams want to play it. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I think what's going to determine it is what does the Big 12 commissioner and the presidents and the ADs vote about their league, and what's Greg Sankey and the presidents and ADs going to vote in the SEC when it's all going to be done. I mean, conversations as of yesterday afternoon between Tennessee and Oklahoma were, hey, we both want to play. We both want to play on that date, and let's go. But at the same time, too, I think that, you know, Greg Sankey said it yesterday, you know, he just don't know yet. The SEC is going to push it as long as they can. That means delaying the start of the season, and they play conference only, then that's what they'll do. We'll just have to see. You know, we know what the Big Ten's going to do. We know what the Pac-12 is going to do in terms of conference only. ACC looks like they're heading that way for sure as well. So, you know, who's going to go with the SEC if they play out of conference? If the Pac-12, the Big 12 and the SEC want to play out of conference, who knows what kind of matchups we might get for Alabama to replace USC and that type of thing. So, you know, honestly, I think we could see anything from a 9-game regular season this fall, starting maybe in October. It's hard for me right now to see that the season's going to start on time, but you never know, so nobody's ruling that out. Nobody wants to play in the spring, but I don't think you could rule that completely out off the table as well. So I think what the next 2 weeks look like in terms of nationally, in terms of the numbers for the general population, not for student-athletes, is going to dictate a whole lot about what this country looks like athletically in the fall, winter, and spring.
First of all, welcome to the show, Brent. We do appreciate you joining us and everything. And my thing is, pandemic aside, what were the realistic expectations of, you know, of Tennessee? Because we saw how strong they finished last year after a rocky start, so to say. But, I mean, they got some good players when you look at Eric Gray, who's a stud running back. Trey Smith comes back. What were some of the expectations going into this season before all this happened?
Well, I think the expectation was high. You know, they're bringing so much back on defense. They're bringing both lines of scrimmage back intact. I mean, everyone who started the game last year on both the offensive line and the defensive line is back on the roster. They get Emmett Gooden back on the defensive line, who missed last year with an ACL tear. Quite frankly, he was Tennessee's most talented defensive lineman before the ACL tear took place. You add potentially Cade Mays on the offensive line if he gets eligible immediately. And suddenly you think, hey, this team's got a chance to be pretty damn good in the line of scrimmage. On the offensive line, some people think they have a chance to be one of the best, if not the best, offensive lines in the SEC. I don't know about that, but I think they're certainly near the top. The question about this team is going to come back to quarterback play. And it ain't dependent on one guy because, you know, the quarterback gets too much credit, too much blame, and all those phrases that coaches use all the time. But the reality is for this team, on games that they won, that they won with, good enough quarterback play and solid defense. When they didn't get good enough quarterback play, they were not a very good football team. And so what does Jerry Garantano look like this fall? How much better is he year two in Jim Chaney's system than he was in year one? Now, the downside for Garantano this year, or whoever the quarterback is you don't have the weapons at receiver, the proven weapons at receiver that you had a year ago. So I think the question on offense is going to be their ability to have a passing game that really threatens people so they don't stack the box against Eric Gray. And then defensively, they do have to replace a linebacker, and they got to replace, a guy who was undervalued as a safety, Nigel Williams, from there in Atlanta as well.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk a little Tennessee football today with Brent Hubbs from VolQuest. Brent, will there be a open competition at quarterback, or is it just kind of open and shut that it's Jarrett Garantano?
No, I think it'll be open. I just think that, you know, not having a spring practice hurts anybody, any newcomer who is coming in, for example, Harrison Bailey, who's a highly decorated five-star, you know, high school quarterback who came in at midterm. And look, we've seen freshman quarterbacks in college football do extremely well. So there's certainly plenty of hype around him, but he did not get the benefit of the 15 spring practices and the scrimmage work that he was hoping for when he enrolled in midterm. And I think that has to set him back, not his fault, but I think it has to set him back in terms of where he is competing for the job. I think with Brian Maurer, there's a lot of arm talent there. I think mentally he's got to be much sharper. You know, this is a guy that had golden opportunity to take advantage of the situation last fall, could have ran with it a couple of different times and didn't do so. You know, he got the start in the Kentucky game, didn't play well enough, so they go with Jared Garantano with a, you know, broken wrist and big wrap on his hand. He couldn't even hand off to the right side, but that's who they had to play to finish the game, to win the game, because Maurer wasn't solid enough. He was too erratic with everything. Opportunity came for Brian in the bowl game against Indiana. Couldn't take advantage of it. So he needed spring practice. He needed the reps with coaches in the booth and on the sidelines, not behind him, to help him further along. So I think that was a bit of a disappointment there. They'll open it up. They'll open up the competition, and, you know, coaches with players today as they start these OTAs. But right now, I think it's Jared's to lose. I think if there's a change of quarterback or Jared's not the starter, I think it's more because Jared had a bad fall camp than it is necessarily a guy took it from Johnny. But we'll see what happens.
Brent, all offseason before, you know, we got to all this, where you're seeing Tennessee as far as how they're recruiting. And it seems like, I mean, we always knew Jeremy Pruitt, even when Alabama at Georgia, wherever he was at, can recruit his tail off with just about anybody in the country. Who are some of these top players that they've gotten in? I just was reading this morning about some five-star cornerback that made the top 10. And, I mean, just a few years ago, you would not see these guys on the campus for Tennessee, which is crazy.
Well, I think, it's Jeremy Pruitt's reputation as an evaluator. You know, his ability to evaluate guys, get on guys early. Jeremy still recruits like he's a position coach, and I mean that as a compliment because he works out a relationship. I mean, it's the number of prospects that I talk to who say, you know, I talk to Coach Pruitt more than any head coach I talk to out there. It's pretty astounding because he still recruits that way, like he's got a territory and he's recruiting a position. So, you know, I think with Jeremy, it's a situation where he loves to recruit. He was bored this spring because they couldn't have spring ball, and he wasn't going to sit around and play golf and not do anything. They went out and recruited, and they've had a great spring in terms of landing some recruits. I do think he's upgraded his staff, too. I think the arrival of Derek Ansley back from the NFL, he was only in the NFL a year. So some of the guys Derek Ansley's recruiting last year and this year, he was recruiting at Alabama when they were, you know, freshmen and sophomores. And so he's picked right back up with their relationships there. Jay Graham moving from Texas A&M to Tennessee, I think, was a big win for Tennessee and for Jay because it got him back closer to some territories where he's had the most success, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. A little harder to recruit from those states to Texas A&M, not as hard to recruit to Tennessee. So I think upgrades in staff, I think the focus on recruiting that they've had this spring has landed Tennessee in a great position right now with this recruiting class.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. It is the Rivals.com site that covers the University of Tennessee. You can check him out there. Four head coaches, four ADs, three university presidents, Brent, in the last 12 years. Do you get the feeling that with Jeremy Pruitt in place, with Philip Fulmer in place, that maybe things are finally starting to the turnover maybe kind of calming down a little bit at Tennessee?
I will say, throw in seven different strength coaches during that time, too. And that may sound like, well, strength coach is not a big deal. That's a huge deal for player development from your freshman year to your senior year. When you have a different strength coach all 4 years you're in college, it's hard to really physically develop the way you need to. I do think there's more stability on campus right now. I think Dante Plowman, the new chancellor, is very much in support of athletics and understands the significance of athletics as the front porch for a university. She saw that firsthand at Nebraska and experienced it there. I think there's a lot of similarities between Tennessee and Nebraska that way. Randy Boyd is the president who was the interim, who's now become the full-time president, and Mr. Boyd is a big believer in athletics as well. And so I think right now, Tennessee's not gotten away from the academics, but there's a little less all about being a top 30, top 20 research institution and being more of a land-grant state institution it was founded upon. And I think because of that and because of the relationships that Philip Fulmer has with people across the state of influence of Tennessee, whether it's on Capitol Hill or the president, the chancellor, donors, that type of thing, I think all of that's created some stability. Now, you got to go win, okay? There's no question about that. But I think everybody has more confidence right now that Tennessee is stabilized and moving into some sustainable success than they've had since they've been here. They had a couple of years. I mean, Butch Jones got that team off to a 5-0 start in the top 10. But I'm not sure anybody felt like that they were establishing themselves long-term. I think there's a feeling much more right now that Tennessee is establishing themselves as being a competitive program in the SEC the way they're supposed to be for the long haul, not just for the short term or not just for a cycle-up one-year type deal. We'll see. Again, proof is in the pudding, but there's a little more confidence right now than there's been the last 12 years.
Brent, appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Randy, listen, when Wendy Williams during that song, don't worry about it. That's just part of nature, man. We're all good, okay?
I got you, brother. Thanks again, man.
All right, man. We'll do it.
Brett Hubbs, VolQuest.com. Check him out there. It is the Rivals.com site that covers Tennessee. Back with three damn good questions next on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bonker, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
You can listen at work, from anywhere, with the 92.9 The Game Radio.com app. It makes work a lot more better. Lot more better? Is that right?
Yeah, just go with that.
Okay.
The Radio.com app, making your life a little more better. Or stream on your smart device from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker this week, alongside Randy McMichael. Ask me anything coming up at 1:40 today. You can send those questions in at Windy Radio. We'll also talk a little Atlanta United with 92.9 The Game's Joe Patrick. That's coming up at about 1:20. So looking forward to all that. A big one for Atlanta United coming up Thursday morning in a very early kickoff that we'll tell you more about as well. So we'll get to all of that right now. It is time for Brian Gebhardt and three damn good questions.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gebhardt.
Three damn good questions brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial the number right now. Dial 678-ESOG now.
ESOG now.
678-ESOG now. Brian, what you got for us?
Yeah, we're going to start right there with the dogs. Do you guys agree with Chip Towers' comment from yesterday that this will be UGA's best defense under Kirby so far? And if so, why?
I don't know. I mean, it's easy for me to agree. I mean, look how damn good they were last year. I mean, they're going to be excellent. And, you know, there are a lot of – all those are Kirby's guys, and they've been in the system for a few years now. So, I mean, of course, you know, the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense. And I think, that's Kirby's head, especially is the defensive side of football. So, I think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to be really damn good. And getting LeCount coming back was a big-time move for that defense also.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really good. I think it has. I don't think there's any reason to think this won't be Kirby's best defense. Randy, you go back to last year, and you and I, we talked about this with John on college football game time on Saturday mornings. Often last year, Georgia played 10 linebackers. They bring 9 of those guys back. The depth is ridiculous. They've got a couple of guys last year that started that, you know, Mark Webb being one of them, he started last year, may not start this year in that secondary because they are so deep. You know, Julian Rochester comes back after a redshirt year to get healthy. I think he may be the key because if there's one part, look, that linebacking group is
N'Kobe Dean's going to be a star. N'Kobe Dean's going to be a star.
We know what Rice is. Ojulari. We know what those guys are. Secondary's deep. Richard LeCount's back. We know about that. Up front on that defensive line, that may be the only part that would cause you to pause, to hesitate. But if Julian Rochester turns into who folks believe he can be as a defensive tackle, then yeah, I don't think there's any reason. That Georgia defense last year was ridiculous, guys. Number one in scoring, number one against the run, number three total defense. Be hard to top that, but they appear at least poised to be that good again.
Yeah.
I know you guys asked Paul Byrd this earlier today, but with Felix opting out of the season, Cole Hamels potentially not being healthy enough, who do you want, not who do you think, but who do you want to be the fourth and fifth starters for the Braves after Soroka, Fulte, and Freed?
I want Nuke. I want Nuke, and I want one of the Wanksters, man. I can't pick which one. I just said Nuke and one of the Wanksters. That's that. I mean, but because that's all they got right now, Brian. I mean, what else? Is Josh Tomlin, is he a long reliever or is he a starter? Can he give you some? Chris, what's the name of it again? At the beginning of the game, that
opener.
Can he be an opener for them or something like that? I don't know, but I think Newcomb has to be one of those guys. He has to be one of those guys, and I'm just saying it because I think. I mean, Paul Byrd, the way he talks about Nuke, he loves him. I like Sean Newcomb a lot. I like the fact that he had a chip on his shoulder about being in, going to the bullpen and all those things. But Sean Newcomb, to me, I think he should be a starter. I think he should be one of those starters, and hopefully he's the fourth guy.
See, Randy, I think Newcomb belongs in the bullpen. I think Sean Newcomb is one of those guys that in a year or two, I think he could develop into a dominant relief pitcher at some point. So for me, two guys I want to see. One is Kyle Wright, and I feel like the clock is ticking on Kyle Wright. The Braves have been patient with this guy to give him a chance, but I think it's time for him now to assert himself and win a spot. The other guy that I want to see, and he's got to get healthy first, is Tuki Toussaint.
Tuki,
because and Tuki has that, you know, when that curveball, Randy, is on.
He's good. He's great.
But oh, Chris, my gosh.
It, Chris, but the thing about it is like, when is it going to be on? Because you remember that Miami game when he came in?
Yes.
When you remember that? We're like, oh, Tuki! And then what the? I know.
I know. I'm just saying. Brian said, not who you think, who you would
yes,
like.
Yes, I know. I would love a Tuki.
Yeah. No, those would be the two guys that I would love to see. I just think Toussaint has – I mean, I remember talking to guys with Baseball America that, you know, really cover and follow the minor leagues a couple of years ago after the Braves had got him into their system, and they were like, oh, my gosh, this guy has a curveball that's unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, it's a 12-6 break. It's totally nasty, and we've seen flashes of it at the big leagues, but to your point, Randy, we haven't seen it consistent enough. I'd love to see Tuki be consistent enough to be either the fourth or the fifth guy in that rotation.
If Newcomb doesn't wind up being one of the starters, would he be your number one choice to fill that opener role?
Probably. I think it'll be him, Josh Tomlin. You know, long 7-7, long as he ain't got to do nothing. Just sit back and be silly. I'm cool.
See, I still have a hard time. I know Paul laid out his reasonings behind it. I just have a hard time with that whole. I guess I'm too old fashioned when it comes to baseball. I have a hard time with that whole opener thing.
Me and you both.
I understand what he's saying. I understand the logic behind it. But I feel like, and this is the point I made with a guy on Twitter earlier, this is the first time in a long time that as a Braves fan, that I really feel good about what we have in the back end of our bullpen.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Let's let those guys go do what we're paying them to do. That's the way I feel about it. Now, again, I understand baseball analytics, that kind of rules things in baseball. I'm not a big fan of it. If that's what Snitker thinks needs to happen in order for the Braves to win, then let's, you know, if it works and they win, then hey, I'll be on board and I'll be all for it. But at this point, I just can't get behind it. And again, maybe I'm archaic 1950s baseball guy.
You are.
I am.
Yeah, you are.
But I admit to it. So,
and that's the most important thing, is that you admit to it.
That's it.
In all honesty, why aren't Power 5 schools trying to set up games by proximity and not by conference this season? Because, you know, just because the team's in your conference doesn't mean the school is closer. So for Georgia, no reason to try to play teams like Georgia Tech, which they're trying to keep that game, Clemson, and even some of the Carolina schools, compared to going to play some of those SEC West schools, are actually further away. Is that something that the Power 5 schools should consider?
How do we know they're not?
Exactly.
I wouldn't take anything off the board. Now, I know the Big Ten and the Pac-12 aren't doing it right now, but as far as everybody else goes, and I agree with you, Brian, there is no reason. What is it, an hour and 15 minutes from Athens to Atlanta? There's no reason that Georgia Tech should not find a way to be able to play each other this year. Same thing goes with Louisville and Kentucky. If Clemson and South Carolina want to do that again, fine. You're right. There's no reason. And I think that may be what the SEC is holding out for, is maybe there's some conversations going on between Larry Swofford, Mike Sly, or Greg Sankey, and Bob Bowlesby to try to figure out, hey, can we split this up and play each other? Makes a lot of sense, Randy, for the SEC West to play Big 12 teams.
Yeah, why not? I mean, there's still so much going on, man. And I just think that, you know, that they're going to find out a way to make this work. I don't know. I mean, I think they're still ticked off at the Big Ten, but I think that they can find a way, maybe if they can. But it all depends on how this COVID thing is going on. Hey, all right. Yeah, we jumped the gun. Let's go back to our regular schedule program, and we'll get done with it. But our conference games will go first.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it, B.
Let's get a look at what's trending. We'll do that next. Braves had an intra-squad game last night that was televised. We'll talk about that. More on the SEC, the NBA bubble going on, and some new announcements in golf. All of that as we get into what's trending next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.